there's an elephant in the room. This has been on my mind for a while now. Let's talk. So you're a Dolphins fan.
I am.
But it's just me observing, because they're really good this year.
They are. It's a shock. They're there.
Are you a true Dolphins fan, or are you a bandwagon? Have you ever gotten that question?
I have, and it's kind of like when I've been a Cubs fan my whole life too. So then when the Cubs, you know, finally won the World Series, everybody's like, "You went to the World Series," and I'm like, "Buddy, I've got a daughter named Wrigley. I have been a Cubs fan and a Dolphins fan since I got into sports in 1984.
Okay,
so everything I love goes back to 1984. So I don't know if you believe in the whole like when the mind of a child is warped.
Oh, well,
I was 6 years old in 1984. So Ryan Sandberg won the MVP for the Cubs. They were really good. And that is my favorite baseball player and team forever. Well, the Dolphins were in the Super Bowl that year.
Okay.
Dan Marino won the NFL MVP. My Bantam League football team was the Dolphins. So I played quarterback, had that. And it stuck, man. So since I was 6 years old. So, yeah, we're almost 40 years. I can almost claim it. One more year. 40 years of suffering and outside the Dan Marino years, it's been a while, so I'm enjoying this right now.
I was going to say, the Dolphins haven't been good in a long time, I feel
the
like.
The last time they've won a playoff game is 2003, and that was actually against the Colts.
Really?
And Peyton Manning, and overtime.
Who did they even have then?
Lamar Smith, Jay Fiedler. Lamar Smith ran for like 200 yards, and in the overtime scored the game-winning touchdown. And that was the last time they've won a playoff game.
Mm.
So it's been a while.
Yeah.
But I've been a season ticket holder since 2016.
Okay.
So I've been at every home game down there since 2016.
Really?
Yep.
So you got the facts to back it up.
I can tell you whatever you want to know. My wife hates me for this, but like if we're doing Dolphin trivia, buddy, I'm not getting beat.
So and then I think the answer would be, are you taking Tyreek Hill or Purdy as the MVP?
There's the thing. Tyreek Hill gets over, he breaks the all-time record.
He's
a bad man.
Okay.
However, with that being said, here's the problem with the MVP, right? It's the most valuable person on the team, right?
True. Yes.
That team is not as good with Tyreek off of it, but that team is last place if Tua isn't playing.
Hmm.
That guy gets more hate than anybody I've ever seen, and man, he is so good.
He's good.
Anybody that ever – you got to see him – just with Tyreek's the same way. If you love football, you got to see them in person because – if you watch, I tell people, if Tyreek's on the field, if you want to know if he's on the field, you don't even have to watch the offense. Watch the defense. If he's on the field, you'll see the safeties start backpedaling before the play even starts about 10 yards. And when he's not on the field, you can see him because they'll be about 8 yards from the line of scrimmage.
Mm.
You don't even have to know if he's there. But you can watch. I mean, Tua he's a master. And I'm glad he's just got to stay healthy. That's the knock on him. So if he stays healthy, like this is what you're getting.
Yeah. Well, it's just they when those two are – like you said, Tua and Tyreek, yeah, they're unstoppable.
So I guess my thing would be, if you're talking about MVP, believe it or not, if I had to vote, I'd give it to Tua before I'd give it to Tyreek.
Really?
Because he is more valuable to that team.
Mm.
Now, with that being said, Tyreek's the best player in football.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm just shocked Tyreek, you know, the Chiefs let him go.
They got a handsome reward. If you remember at the time, everybody thought – that's the funny part about it. They were playing the clips and all the ESPN clips and the Cowherd and all that. They were playing that the other day, and they showed them about how bad Miami got roasted for that trade because they gave up so much for him. And I'm not sure that anybody would think that's the case anymore. So it's funny when you have trades or moves, you kind of have to wait to see how it all – the dust settles to actually grade it. But everybody wants to do that instant thing now, like this team got hosed or whatever it was. And all of the baggage that supposedly was coming with him, I've had the pleasure. Me and Walker have actually met Tyreek a couple times, and had, you know, when I say met, we've had a few minute conversations with him at some events and stuff like that. Just a very, very great guy, like from what I've seen.
Well, did you see the camera guy thing?
Is awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
The fact that he picked up the salary and he did that of that guy, that's really awesome.
Now that guy was, because that wasn't Tyreek's camera guy. Right?
No, but he's done some stuff for Tyreek and that part of it. So yeah, when he got suspended, which was just stupid.
Yeah,
but,
you know, right.
The NFL rules on some of that. I mean, he got fined. I think the same game was like $15,000. He didn't wear socks.
Tyreek did.
Yeah, I think it's the same game of that one when he did the backflip and then and all that. But he wasn't wearing socks in his shoes, and he got fined $15,000 for not wearing socks.
I don't really get that.
So you have to wear certain shoes. You can't wear certain apparel. Yeah. The No Fun League, the NFL. Yeah,
No Fun League.
Yeah. But
do you think the NFL's like rigged?
Scripted?
Yeah.
Well, I here's the thing. On the way here today, I don't know if it's scripted, but you know the Simpsons thing. You know how that's all.
Oh yeah.
Did you see that the Simpsons, the first Super Bowl, they have a Simpsons episode. It's in Vegas.
Okay.
And Miami beat San Francisco in the Super Bowl.
Rip of this year?
Or does well, it say the I don't, year? I don't know if it's the year on it or whatever. I saw it was on Twitter. I was going through, and a couple people were sharing it, and I'm just like, there they go again, the Simpsons strike again. But hey, I hope it's true.
I mean, that would be my Super Bowl if I had to pick. It would be the Dolphins and 49ers.
Hey, that I'm all for that. Sign me up. And it's in Vegas.
The Super Bowl's in Vegas this
year?
Yes,
it is. That's what I'm saying.
So and that's what the Simpsons had?
Correct.
Oh, man.
So, hey, let's hope that it's correct. Right. At least I am. I'm rooting for it. So
I mean, yeah, that's a win for you.
It sure would be.
I think, have you ever seen the clip of Pat McAfee talking about Matt Groening?
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Where he goes through all the Simpsons.
It's insane.
It is insane.
It's insane.
It makes you wonder.
Well, the Cubs World Series, too.
That was the same. Yeah, they predicted that.
They had
that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it's crazy, the kind of stuff that, yeah.
I mean, I think the Simpsons are onto something. I think they're definitely.
It's hard to argue with the facts.
Maybe they'll have Bailey and Wood being the.
There you go.
The biggest lending.
There you go.
Company in the United States.
Yeah.
How did you guys get so many? I mean, how did you get so many different locations? Is it a franchise? Is it?
No, it's just us. So it started off. Our first office was in Whiteland, where you know I grew up and where right. I'm from. And then went to Mooresville was the second one. And really what we've done, our growth model isn't, hey, let's go attack a city and put an office there and recruit people. We let the people come to us, find the right fit, because culture is everything for us. And then when we find that person, then we build around that person. So for instance, when Kyle Law came to us, he was from that Mooresville area, and then we kind of built that around him. You know, Seymour, David Abnett's down there in that part. So we find really good people in these, you know, pockets, whether it's Auburn or Fort Wayne. And when we find the people and we say, okay, that's the kind of person we want, then we build the office around them.
Well, that would make the most, yeah, built around the people.
It makes sense because I think it's, you know, you can have the coolest office. You can have, you know, you right now you could put one, because anybody's always like, oh, why don't you have one downtown yet? Why don't you have it here? Why don't you have it here? And it's like, got to find the person first. Mm. You know, you need the right fit, and it has to be the right person that's not a disruptor, that's going to come in, understand our culture, understand the way we do things. You know, for us, you know, whether it's the committee community part of it, they have to be involved. It isn't somebody, we don't want somebody just showing up to collect a paycheck. Mm. That's not the way we operate.
So Mooresville was your second location?
Mooresville was the second location, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How many locations do you have?
There's 18 in Indiana, one in Michigan, and one in Florida.
Wow. So did you just put the one in Florida so you can?
a lot of people said that. Yeah, a lot of people say that. I got to go.
Hey,
work.
I got a Dolphins game.
That was for the wife. It was like, hey, yeah. You know, I've got to go down. This
check on got, the office. It's, check on you the know, office. We got a few.
Just
paper.
So happens to line up. The Dolphins are home that weekend.
Yeah, like, yeah.
It's just magical. No, actually, the funny part about that one was there were like five people in our company that just decided to move to the Cape Coral area. And you know, wanted to continue to work. And so again, we already had the people. So our manager at Cape Coral, Shane Easton, is actually from Fishers, was our Fishers branch manager. So then we decided to open the office for him at Cape Coral.
Really?
Yep.
So you said what is the kind of people that you look for in terms of a Bailey and Wood associate?
For us, the most perfect person for us is you got to have humility. You gotta want to help people, because obviously in our industry it's what we do every single day. Right. It isn't one of those things like, hey, I want to help somebody to collect a paycheck. Obviously everybody needs a paycheck. The money's important. You have to have it, otherwise nothing exists. But you have to truly love what you do, because if you don't, it shows so easily. Mm. And there's so many obstacles in our life that are out of our control, meaning that we deal with, you know, real estate agents, we deal with appraisers, you deal with inspectors, you deal with the government,
yeah.
The rates, you don't know what's going to happen there, the markets. There's so many things in our industry that are out of your control. You have to mentally be able to fight through all that and know that, you know, you just have to do your best every day. And there's so many things out of your control. Like there's so many people, I'm a control freak. And I've learned through the years, okay, you got to refocus your mind of, hey, I can't control these things, so let's make the best of this. How can I structure this to get the best out of this, even though this isn't great right now?
Mm.
And those, it's a mindset. When I interview somebody, we always had the running joke when the very first question you ask is like, well, okay, what do you, you know, how much money do you want to make? And it used to be the first thing in everybody's mouth. I want to make $100,000, six figures, right? That was just the go-to. Now, six figures, unfortunately, in today's world, really isn't much when the cost of living and inflation and everything like that. But we always used to joke because that was like that go-to first, like cringe to me. It's like, okay, because I'll say, okay, if you want to make $100,000, said, so what does that look like to you? And they're like, well, what do you mean? Are you ready to work X amount of hours? Like, look, break it down. Go backwards with this. To make this, are you ready to work extra hours? Are you ready to make these calls? Are you ready to be told no 1,000 times a month? Are you ready to overcome that? And then you can see it in their eyes. You'll know if the certain people that have actually thought of that or that was just throwing it out because they think that's what you want to hear.
Yeah, it's not easy to make 100,000.
No,
and it is not. In any industry, let alone the...
Especially right now. Especially right now. But the crazy part about it is we've got people in the company that are having their best years they've ever had in their career.
And now how are they, with the lending, how it is now, those guys are still thriving and having such...
All mindset. They're grinding and it's the danger of like social media, right? The one social media is so powerful. It's so important. But the one thing that I always caution everybody, you know, from it, no one's getting on there and saying, man, today really sucked. You know, you know what? Yeah, today really was terrible. I didn't make a dime. You know what I mean? I went on 5 sales calls and 5 people told me to piss off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like no one's saying that.
No.
Which it's reality.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how good you are at your job. It's like, you know what? Tom Brady, as many Super Bowls, he lost 3 Super Bowls.
Right.
Does he talk about the losses? Does anybody say, you know what, Tom Brady lost 3 Super Bowls? No, what do they say? He won 7, yeah. Right? So it's that mantra, that part of it, like, you know, that focus. And it's like, you know, for people that are right now out there and doing it, they let all that negativity go in one ear at the other. And if there's certain, that is truly a talent, because I'm guilty. I mean, everybody gets caught up in that, because, you know, it's like when you see a train wreck, what do? You want to stop and see what it is.
Right.
Negative news sells better than positive news, right?
Yep.
As much as, you know, that everybody's like, you know, I love want to hear the positive stories. If there's a sappy story about a guy, you know, helping a homeless guy over here, and this is what he did, as great as that story is, and then there's a shooting or something unfortunate over here, what is everybody tuning to?
The shooting.
Yeah. And it's just, I think it's society as a whole, and, you know, not to get deep on that route, but I mean, it's like, I think that's... It's not rocket science for people that are successful. I preach this every time in a sales meeting to my people, probably throw up because I said, it's all mindset and it's all focus on the positives or what you control.
Right. But I do like the point of most people that are the 1%, like they're taking more no's than anybody else.
Oh, absolutely.
Like
they fail more than anybody.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan had that, you know, the famous quote, you know, I mean, he got cut from his high school team, but how many shots he's missed? He's missed more shots in his lifetime than he's made. That's what he said.
And when you get on the social media train, it's like, everybody's killing it. Everybody's making $1 billion.
Oh yeah.
My
life is wonderful.
My life is wonderful.
You know, my kids are look at my perfect.
My kids are perfect.
And you know what? My wife would make fun of me because I always post like the worst pictures. Like, you know, I'm sitting there and my kids, although my kid was a little A hole today, or, you know, he was this or whatever. And I'm always like, that's reality, man.
Yeah.
Like, no, you know, no one's kids are coming home. Maybe they are. And I apologize for those people that have the perfect kids. But when I'm coming home, one of them screaming at the other one because they're mad because they took their tablet or they didn't do this, or, hey, I want to go do this, or they want to eat this. You know, that's my favorite, is the old family pictures where everybody's sitting around the table and having this beautiful dinner spread. And I don't know about you, but like my kids are literally critiquing. They're the biggest critiques of dinner time ever. You could spend 2 hours, or I can hand them a dino chicken nugget and they're just as happy. But the first, you know, they'll critique whatever they want or whatever. And I'm just laughing because it's like that picture of what is on, you know, social media is hilarious.
Oh, social media can, as bad as it sounds, it can ruin you.
Oh,
as
absolutely.
A person.
If you're trying to live your life to appease what you think that someone else is living their life as, and that's, you know, we get asked a bunch, or I say, you know, people don't understand the struggles to get what you see.
Right.
They just want what they see.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's part of the, you know, everybody gets caught up or missing the journey.
Well, not even that, if you do see all these people doing well, which 95% of the time it's all BS, how does that make you feel on the opposite end receiving it?
Right.
You know? Another thing, and this is a side note on the phones, but like I always like to bring this up. Wyatt and I went and hiked at a, have you ever heard of Hocking Hills in Ohio?
Mm-mm.
Just hiking, more or less.
That's and, why. I mean, I look at me, man. I'm not a hiker.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah. I'm trying to get into hiking.
I'm out of breath just thinking about it.
But
yeah.
we you know, no phones. We thought we'll be in nature, you know, be there, present. And like literally the whole, as soon as you got to like the main cave, all everyone was doing was taking like a selfie, pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was kind of a disheartening moment for society. It was like, we can't even come and just enjoy the walking through nature. Mm-hmm. We got to make sure we get, I mean, I saw guys like scrolling as they're walking through the woods. I don't know. I know it's kind of off the...
I say the same thing even when I'm at like football games and you're watching the game. When you're watching the games and people are like checking. I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
we're at a football game.
Yeah, you came and enjoying the moment and, you know, enjoying the journey. Like that, I think there's a lot to be said in that. And I think that's a lot of people's problems now.
And I just think back to the phones, it's like once you get so in that world of social media, anything you're doing, may it be food, anything, you're trying to take a picture of it, show other people that you're doing it. Yeah, you're trying to appease other people's, I don't know.
And you know, just people, how powerful the media or social media in general, but like social media, I literally had the moment myself, and you know, around the holidays, it really started to resonate because I didn't think I had a problem.
Mm.
And what I have a problem with is the algorithms. When I'm scrolling through or I'm trying to see something on Facebook or Instagram, and man, they got me because I'll be like scrolling through and there's dolphin stuff. And then there's like this, I have bought more, like my wife didn't, I didn't even realize it. She's like, hey, you don't need another hat in your life. I'm like, what do you mean?
Mm.
And she goes, you have bought 11 hats this year.
Like ads? This,
they're almost exactly the same. You know, I don't even realize it. Yeah. I click on it. I am the guy that they are like, that's the dude. That's the sucker I want. Like, and I am, because like, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm like, well, half my shopping, I'm realizing, oh, I bought this for one of my kids. And I'm like, oh, that came from a Facebook ad, or this came from this, which is exactly what they want to hear.
Yeah.
Right now I'm helping everything because the ads, you know, the stalking, they work.
Oh, they work.
They work. That's scary, but they work.
And if you buy one once, you're in their system.
Oh, you're done.
To where it'll retarget you. And even just filling out your email. I mean, Wyatt, how many? Well, he's not mic'd up, but
no,
I'm
in.
Oh, the amount of ads. I mean, Wyatt would say, what, a Papa John's ad, Wyatt? Like,
oh yeah, this is what I mean. What I'll tell people is, I'll be on my phone and I'll see like the, you know how they got the cheese pulling apart.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'll see that and I'll look at the I'll just call Papa John's and get the pizza. I've done it multiple times. Like, I'll see the pizza on my feed and like, you know how like they probably want me to like go through the ad. To like click the, I don't even, I just see the, I've seen the cheese pull apart. Once I see the cheese pull apart, I literally like, I'll just go on and call and order pizza.
Connoisseur is what you're saying?
I mean, I think I'm just like you, like it's just very easy to target and.
He's their ideal client.
Oh, for sure.
He's not even filling out the ad. He's just immediately calling.
Done.
Well, I saw an ad, you know, this is more on the marketing side, but this was, I thought, one of the coolest. It was a Thursday Night Football, which I think is genius for Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Hooking up with them. You have to have a Prime account to be able to watch Thursday Night Football. Genius. But it was a DoorDash ad. And all it was it was a red screen and it was a big QR code. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then it was like some guy, like little guy singing like on a guitar, some random song. But that's just to probably get you to not think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the ad sat there for about 10 to 12 seconds, a commercial. And all you do is the guy singing to kind of distract you. And you just scan the QR code from your phone sitting at home, and then it shoots you to DoorDash. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's nothing else there. There's no text. No. It's just a QR.
There's a few billboards I've seen people go into that now. The billboard is really just a QR code.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. I just told, you know, Mark Coffey?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's on the same billboard as you in Mooresville.
Yep.
So I was. Have you ever heard of a B&I?
Mm-hmm.
I was just at my B&I doing my spiel, my 10-minute presentation. So on my truck, it was Wyatt's idea. On the back of it, the graphic that I wrapped it with, we put a QR code and said, don't scan this.
Oh, it probably has gotten all
My gosh. I am not kidding you. Wyatt's first thought was we wrap the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I just did the back, which I still think is good because it may have been harder for people to see it from the side view.
Right.
Maybe not. But the back, obviously, they're parked right behind me. And it's great because, like, I'll be looking in my rearview mirror. You see him dying laughing at it. And then I'm watching. Okay, I got the laugh. And then here comes their phone scanning it. And it's just because it's the don't scan this part. But I told Mark Coffey, I'm like, dude, talk to the billboard people and just try it for 1 week. Just put a full, and you could try it too. I know you're on there.
Yep.
I mean, I already gave them the idea, but, and it could be crazy. It could be stupid. I said, you know, the only issue is hopefully people aren't getting into accents trying to.
Well, yeah, that part of it. We've done a lot of stuff with the QR stuff at events.
Yeah, what have you seen with it? Have you had any success?
We do a lot of that because, like, we go on events that we use now for contests. If we're going to give away stuff, hey, just scan the code, boom, boom, boom. I think people have just become, because, you know, now when you go, this is my age coming out, I hate going to a restaurant, though. And that has you have no menu and a scan, because I don't want to stare at my phone. I would like to have the experience this part of it. So that's the only part of it. I think you can go overboard with it. But in terms of a marketing part of what you're talking about, it works.
It works.
It absolutely works.
Well, and everybody's understanding, I think, the concept of just the scan part.
Yeah.
Even my grandparents can take that information, and it's simple. It's easy. It's basic. But I think it's really, I mean, once you start seeing them on commercials, which I've seen them more and more and more, I don't know. I think they're here to stay. But I think the billboards should try it. I really do. Like I said, the only issue would be people. I don't know if you can sue in an accident and said that would be my only.
I've seen them up on billboards already, so I don't know. But
see, I haven't seen them on a billboard yet.
But the only thing about. And this is not to go on a tangent about billboards, but I can tell you from a guy that's learned about billboards, I always tell people the best marketing piece I can tell you, simplicity.
Mm.
Because when I, there was one I of the things now, like now I'd be like, you know, you need to do a marketing that part when you're driving and you're like, that is just awful. Like the understand if you're driving, it needs to be easy font.
Yeah.
The colors need to pop. I mean, it needs to be simple, but if you're trying to put your whole biography, you know, I saw one for, an agent nobody mentioned, but I saw one driving down and it had like this cursive font. You couldn't even read what it says, but it literally had why you should use them, and it was this paragraph of words. And it's like,
who's reading that?
No one's reading it. Literally, it's overwhelming. It's like, but then you look at, I always tell everybody, the best billboards ever are McDonald's, right? Or Cracker Barrel, right?
Yes.
Because McDonald's doesn't even put anything on it. Usually it's just the damn arches and it's just like arrow there.
Right.
Like, you know, right?
Yeah.
But like, simplicity is the key. I learned when we first did our billboards, we were too wordy with them, and we put stuff on and people, I didn't get any reaction. Now it helps when you put Jeff Saturday on one, but then it was just him and the logo and it was nothing else. There was no call to action. It was just like, we saw more traffic from that and more phone calls from that, because it's just, you're driving by, you look over, you see it, right?
Mm.
Boom, you see it there. It's done. Simplicity for sure.
I think marketing as a whole should be simple.
Oh, yeah.
I think not even the billboards. I think if you can get just your marketing plan as simple as possible, I think that's where you can shine if you're trying to get your business out there.
I think everybody's trying to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the problem. And I think, like, there's a lot of it. And I was joking with, you mentioned Mark Coffey's name, and I was joking with them and Lindsay Smalling and a few other people. And I said, you know what it is? It's crazy to me about Indiana. And here's some free marketing advice for any real estate company that does this.
Okay.
And we've got companies here that are Indiana based or only Indiana, right? None of them have the colors of Indiana's like flag, right? They're all, why is red such a popular color? Because, you know, it's actually, I know it's the one that they say, like, oh, but it's also a negative kind of, you know, a tone. And it's like, I don't know what it is, but every real estate company in Indiana, I don't know if it's a Hoosier thing or whatever, it's like, man, somebody's got to be different. Somebody's going to pop. Somebody's going to do it. And I was like, man, somebody.
You're saying going red, white, and blue.
Well, I'm saying Indiana state flags, blue and yellow. Like, if I was Mooresville, I've told all these guys, it's like, hey, it's where the flag was invented from. So my company colors would be blue and yellow. Indiana.
Has anybody done that?
There's not one company that I know of in the state of Indiana that has those colors. So it's weird because everybody, I've seen some that have tried to go on, like, you know, weirder colors or like neon colors or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, you still have to have the professional side of things. And I think that if you're talking about something that is the largest purchase, so somebody's generally going to have in their lifetime, you still have to keep that professional side of things.
Yeah.
but it needs to be clean and clear. But I'm like, I always just wondered why somebody wants to copy something instead of trying to reinvent their own thing.
Mm.
And I feel like our industry, you know, there's only so much you can do. It's not a, you know, a lovely, exciting thing to talk about mortgages or real estate, but why everybody would rather try to copy what they're doing instead of doing their own thing.
Yeah. I, like you said, especially in those industries, just because it is, it's pretty cutthroat essentially.
Oh, absolutely.
It's pretty, you know, dog eat dog world. So why wouldn't you want to try and, especially the reels? I mean, how many teams, brokerage? I mean, there's so, everybody knows 15 agents.
Oh, absolutely.
So and why wouldn't you want to try to be as, you know, different as you can?
And it's weird because the real estate industry, they have this code of ethics, right?
Hmm.
And it's so funny to me because, like, if realtors and the industry is, what do you see when you see a CVS? Generally, the next thing you see is a Walgreens right across the street. What do you see when you see a McDonald's? You see a Burger King across the street. Do you think that's an accident? They've found a model. Why is Pepsi and Coke attack each other all the time? They're not hurting each other. They're helping each other. It's why you see, you know, I remember back in the days and for Indiana base, it was like when Best Buy came in and disrupted things, right? And remember the old H.H. Gregg commercials and they made fun of the Best Buy blue polos or whatever. They helped each other. It's like, but the industry, in our industry, you're not allowed to cross those lines. You can't even say like, hey, you know, this brokerage is better than this brokerage because then you're going to get attacked. You're going to get, you know, these. And I think that's part of the issue or the stigma from where got to kind of get out of their own way a little bit.
Mm.
I know some of them don't like hearing that, but for me on being in the industry as far as that, and when I'm looking at like what you said, like if I was going to choose an agent, you know, everybody knows them, right? And it's like, you know, yeah, everybody probably has somebody in their family or they know of this person that sold their dad's house. So I'm going to call this person or whatever that may be. It's just separating yourself and how you do that. I think that's the biggest struggle in that industry for sure.
What can an agent or even a mortgage lender do? Obviously the colors, what can they do to separate themselves in an
authentic, be authentic,
be themselves.
I mean, that is the thing that drives me more crazy than anything else. Just be who you are.
Mm.
I make fun of myself all the time. They always saying this, like, listen, I'm a hillbilly from the South Side. I grew up in a country town or whatever. I mean, that would be like me if I was wearing a, you know, 3-piece suit every day and I was going, I'm not genuine. I'm not who I am.
Mm.
I'm, you know, that part of it. I think if you're trying to be something you're not, people see through that.
Yes.
They may not see it through the very first initial reaction, but they will eventually get there. Yeah. And if you're going to retain clientele or if you're going to build up your database, you got to be true who you are. And that's, you know what? Here's the hard part, I think, for people. That means you're going to lose certain people.
Yes.
Because when you're true to yourself, but guess what? The most rewarding part is those people that are your clients, they're your clients for life.
They're going to love you.
And I think that's what people struggle with, because especially when you're starting or you're getting started out, when you're getting started out, you're like, man, you're trying to, you know, anybody that will talk to me anyway, I got to do anything I can. So if I've witnessed it, I've witnessed people just talk on my side. I've witnessed people or loan officers that are maybe live on the South Side or they live the West Side, East Side, whatever side you want to talk. And they will go make calls to a different area. They dress different. Mm-hmm. They want to talk different. You know, there's certain
character.
It's certain areas. And I'm like, you know, that may work for the first time you introduce yourself to somebody, but the minute you start really talking to them and you start interacting, it's not, there's no longevity in that.
Definitely. I think it helps too. Wyatt and I both talked about this where it's like, I think sometimes people just take even the networking. I mean, they go too serious. Like, I don't know.
Oh,
maybe I'm.
Oh no, no. You're dead on.
Just be like, we're all here to have fun. We're all going to have some drinks. I mean, just.
And understand networking sometimes is networking with the competition.
Yeah.
It's you know, everybody's there. I tell them everybody's there to make a livelihood, right?
Right.
No one, I don't believe anybody in the industry walks into a room and says, you know what? I hope this person doesn't make a dime. I want it all. I really don't believe people operate that way.
No.
I think people are like, hey, I want to build my business. Or they, you know, you may be envious of this person who's doing a better job over here and that part of it. Tell you what. Have the humility to walk over to that person, because the one thing I do truly love about our industry, and I've seen it on 1,000 occasions, when they walk over and you say, hey, you have the humility, you're really doing a great job.
Mm.
You know, as being a newer person or somebody that, what kind of recommendation or what could you tell me? What tips could you give me? I've never seen somebody be like, you know what? I'm not telling you anything. Get out of here. Like, and that, but I think people have that stigma, like, well, they're not going to help me because I don't work for that person.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to do that. No, they were in your shoes at some point in time. Nobody just walks into it and it just great. Mm. I remember literally a month that we closed one loan and shared it amongst people. So it's like, you know, everybody started from somewhere. So I think that's the part that I think people need to kind of get over themselves a little bit and say, listen, hey, it's uncomfortable if that's not your thing. But like the networking thing, or the opposite of that, you'll go people that will spend and go sponsor a networking event, go to the event, and then just sit there and too afraid to talk to anybody. I think that's more common than actually than the other way. I think you'll see more because I see it. I'll see certain people over there and I'm like, I've been going to these certain events for 20 years now.
Yeah.
And I've seen this person for maybe, you know, 2 or 3 years and I couldn't tell you who their name is or even like interactions.
Yeah.
And like, well, I'll be over here and I will see them and they will just come stay in their little group. Or if you work for a company, maybe there's like 2 or 3 people, then you just talk to yourselves.
Mm.
Well, why would you go to an event?
Yeah.
If you're not going to put yourself out there and talk to people.
And it's just a conversation, you know, I think once you get in that mode of just here to have a relationship, converse, like I'm not here to try to get your wallet out and give me your credit card.
Eventually you want that.
But
But yeah, I think it's the way of attacking it. It's, you know, depending on what sales tactics are they, everybody's got their little fun names they call them. But yeah, if you're going into an event and the first thing I walk up to you is like, hey, let me talk to you about mortgages. You want to refi or whatever? You're going to be like, dude, what is wrong?
Dude, I just got here.
Yeah, it's like, hey man, how you doing? Who are you? Who you work for? You want to get to know that person. And, you know, I think that's, everybody, it's that instant gratification
thing. Yeah. Well, I always say, like, my first few years of in trying to get marketing clients of my own, like, I remember when I was 20, 21, like, when I'd go to the chambers, my mentality was, who can I talk to give me some money?
Yeah.
Like, there was no other thought, though.
Yeah.
I was a blind eye going in, trying to get a meeting, trying to get you to whatever. And, I mean, people can see right through that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
So, just go in.
Your presence alone tells them they know why you're there.
Yeah.
And I think that if you're walking into a room,
you give off energy of like,
you already know.
Just trying to.
Yeah. But I mean, like if you're going to a BNI group or you're going to a chamber event, you're going to, you know, one of our MIBOR event or whatever it may be, they know why you're there. No one's going to be like, hey, I just want to go see what's going on today.
Yeah.
I mean, they know there's no need. You don't have to push it.
That's a good point. And especially if you know, have a service that can speak for itself too, that, hey, this is what I do. If it fits and you want to go take it a little farther, great. If not, you can't get every client. I think that's something early on. I mean,
sometimes you really don't want clients.
No.
I think that's the other hard thing when people come into play.
To separate. I mean, yeah.
To separate it, especially early on. Cause I remember early on there's, you know, not mentioning names, don't ask. but you know, there's certain people like, you know, you have to take whatever you can get.
Yes.
You get the ball rolling and you get your name out there. And, you know, I think one of the most humbling things or the one of the things is as you grow of making sure you select people that you want to do business with that align with your values or whatever, because the ones that will drain everything from you, even if the business is there, isn't worth it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you live and learn as you go through the years. And, you know, like I tell people all the time, it's like, you know, everybody's like, what would you change? You know, that big question you always get is like, if you could go back, would you change this? Whatever. And I was like, no, you can't, because you wouldn't be where you're at. If you change it, you know, it's the butterfly effect, right?
Yep.
You know, you go change it, you wouldn't be who you are now. There's so many things that I screwed up. I list is way more than any accomplishment.
Yeah.
But it has led to everything that has come good.
Yeah. Oh, the bad can, if you learn from your own mistakes.
Yeah, you can't make the same mistake that.
Yeah, time, yeah. As long as you can take something from it, that's always, anytime something does go bad, it seems like I get that next idea, that next move. There's always a good in the bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know that sounds a little cliche, but do you want to talk about what we were talking about there with the new thing you guys have at the new office? Yeah,
whatever.
I don't know if you have kind of gotten into that yet.
No, we do whatever you want, man.
So, well, you guys have done this whole new renovation.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the point of, you know, where are you guys going with that?
So, you know, with the growth through the years and, you know, having other locations, the biggest thing that we needed, the first and foremost thing, is we needed a place where everybody in the company could meet and we could actually fit into a room. So the most basic things had that. But obviously to offer our people the ability to learn, train, and continue to get better. So we have built onto our main office, we have built on now, it's an 18,000 square foot project of two additional buildings that connect. So we have the first and foremost thing is we have a training center that the whole company can actually fit in, which is awesome. The people are excited about the cafeteria, the new cafeteria. They're very excited about that.
It's like a college campus.
Yes, it is. Bailey and Wood. So it's kind of like employees. Our own small little Google.
Small logo. There you go.
I don't have a slide though. So, but yeah, so we've got a nice cafeteria area. We've got more room for the sales staff, actually, obviously, because we've had sales and operations staff on top of each other for so many years. Big thing that they're excited about is that we have a marketing center. So it's got a built-in, I don't even know the right word because Brittany would kill me for not knowing this, but whatever it is, you could walk up and there's no floor. It's like, man, it's for pictures and photographs. And there's a podcast room.
So is this just for your lenders or can realtors
No, that's it, we extended out. So all of our marketing, we everybody that we partner with, we try to help anybody in the industry. We try to help anybody even outside the industry, but there's a lot of things that maybe we don't do that then we want to be able to connect people with people that can help people. That's kind of our goal. So even if we can't do it, you know, there's guys like you that could do it. There's other paints. So we want to be able to connect. So we want to, it's there to help anybody we can. So, and then we've got our insurance agency that is in part of the building. We've got additional sales offices. We've got our gym for our employees. Some of us need to, you know, hit the treadmill more or, you know, get back in shape. And
so that's why the gym was put in there.
The gym was put in there specifically, probably for our management staff. I think we're the worst ones that need it. So yeah, our mental break, whatever. But, and then what we're really excited about is the Nyer Event Center. Bailey has done a great job, along with the gals in terms of the design, but we'll be able to host, a lot of events there, and you know, something for the community on the south side that gives them another option, probably like more of a middle class option, I would say, for a couple hundred people or less. But it's turning out really great. We're really excited about it.
It sounds like have you guys done a video of the whole place?
We have done a few,
maybe a drone.
Yeah, Brittany actually did when it was all framed out. She's got this big time lapse that she's working on. So I'm sure there's something there.
But you haven't had a full video showing that because is it
nothing
done
yet? No, it's close. It's real close. Okay. So by the second week of January, it will be done.
Okay.
So they're actually out there landscaping, pouring the rest of the concrete, retaining walls. All the little touches are starting to come in. So we're starting to see it. Brittany is struggling with me, is what she said, because of all the takes that we had to have. Again, I'm not a rehearsed take kind of person, so when she's wanting me to say certain things, there's a lot of bloopers, I guess I should say. Yeah,
bloopers make for good content too, though.
We're gonna see
some of the better content.
Yeah, we got our holiday bash coming up for our employees, and I'm sure there will be a blooper video in there.
But this is the first year that it's employees only for the holiday bash?
It is just for this year because we're rolling out. Normally, we bring all of our agents in, and it's always important to us to have the agents because the agents are an extension of our company very much because of how we're structured as a purchase lender. We wouldn't be anywhere without them. This year, with rolling out the building, a few things that we needed to do, we decided to do it a little separate just because of it's been a tough year for LOs and that, but we felt it was crucial that all of our attention was on our people this year.
Well, that's important.
Yep.
But I do think their realtors are going to be missing out. I mean,
already some. I caught some.
They're probably
slack. That's
chirping
fine.
At you.
Yeah, it happens.
Gave that out a happened. Car, didn't you?
We did. There was a mom.
Come on now.
There was a single mom that had gone through some tough times or whatever, and a good friend of mine, Russ Hubler, helped us out, and we gave away a car to her. That was really
and that was
really
free
awesome.
And clear. She received
the
car.
Free and clear. She got the keys and got to walk away. But yeah,
that's crazy.
It was awesome. It's rewarding. And every year, and we'll continue to do that. Every year we bring a hometown hero to that event, and then we do something for them. And this year, probably the most emotional one that for me personally, because I know the individual, so it goes back to childhood. So a guy that is battling, he's got terminal cancer, so that part of it. But good guy, good hometown hero. So we got some cool things coming on that.
I was going to say, I feel like I've had this conversation with plenty of business owners, but obviously owning a business, the goal is profit, to make money, this and that. But at least with a guy like you, or even Lindsay, I mean, it's always nice to see, not only is, you know, the income, we're succeeding, we're making money, but you're able to do stuff in the community, give back.
It's the best. It really is. I'd say it's the best part of the job.
Best part of the
Absolutely. And it, you know, I always tell everybody, is like, yeah, I'm a mortgage lender and that's what I do, but I'm more of a community advocate than anything else. It's the fun part of the job.
I was insane.
You got to do, but it's just like anything. You have to do the work to have the fun. It's kind of like if you're an athlete, you got to put in the practice to play the games, the fun part. So you still have to do that, and it's important, and I believe we're really good at what we do. But in terms of what we do in the communities, that's what makes it all worthwhile.
Okay. Well, I think that's enough here, Mr. Wood.
All right.
Appreciate your time.
Yeah.
I don't know how long we talked for. White, how long was it?
About 45 minutes.
That's pretty good. That's a good interview. The big thing here is, though, if the Simpsons are legit or not. We'll see.
Yes, we need to.
We'll see if the Dolphins will win the Super Bowl. He is not a bandwagon. That's it.